Daze is one of the legacy format's most ubiquitous counterspells. This one card sets the standard for the average mean mana cost for all spells in this format. Its alternative casting cost basically makes it free. But many people ask, why is this card so incredibly powerful? Why play this card over cards like Counterspell and Force Spike? Today, we are going to look at Daze and answer the question, why should I play this card? Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark. Every Monday, my co-host, Phil Blackman, and I produce a Legacy podcast featuring the last week's most important news in the Legacy format. If you are not yet subscribed, go ahead and hit that button, get on board, and if you are new to the format, that's great. This is a wonderful place to start. You are in the right spot. Daze reads, you may return an island you control to its owner's hand rather than pay this spell's mana cost. Counter target spell unless its controller pays one generic mana. Looking at this card, you might think, only one generic mana? That doesn't seem that good. What happens when your opponent gets a few extra lands in play? Isn't this card just dead? Why not play a hard counter spell for two mana? It'll stop the spell no matter how much mana my opponent has, and I'm not tempted to lose a land drop to this card. But the beauty of this card's design is a little deeper than taxing your opponent's first couple of spells. When we look at Legacy as a format, we have to respect that there are styles of play or archetypes that are not as often seen in other formats like Pioneer, Standard, or Modern. At least not to the level that they are in Legacy. The purest of these archetypes in Legacy is called Tempo. But what even is Tempo? Simply put, Tempo decks like Delver and Death Shadow and even sometimes Infect rely on a simple three-tier strategy. Play a threat. Some players will call this their queen. 2. Disrupt your opponent's game progress. You can do this with cards like Stifle to brick a fetch land or Wasteland to remove an opponent's land from the board, or Daze to counter their blockers or removal. 3. Protect the queen. Just keep that threat alive and stay alive yourself long enough to kill your opponent. Nothing else matters. Get them to zero and end the game by any means necessary. Tempo is widely one of the most popular playstyles in Legacy, and its three-tier mantra of play your threat, disrupt your opponent, protect the queen may apply to many other strategies in Magic the Gathering, but no other archetype displays them as well. Daze is the rug that ties the room together. Daze allows you to play out a threat on turn one and tap out, knowing that we can use it to disrupt our opponent or protect our queen the following turn. Let's look at a few scenarios. One rule that you should follow 99.99999999999% of the time is that you should never pay mana for Daze. As you'll remember, Daze offers the option to alternatively play it by putting a land back into your hand. A lot of times, you'll have two open mana when you want to cast Daze. So why should you still cast it with its alternative cost, especially if you have nothing else to do with the mana that turn? In this scenario, your opponent is casting Fatal Push on your Delver of Secrets. They had to tap out to cast it, so it seems like a safe use of mana to just pay the cost with your land and not put a land back into your hand and waste putting it back into play next turn. I agree, it seems unintuitive, so you go against my advice and tap your lands. No! Daze exists, and your Daze gets dazed! Oh, the humanity! You are down your threat, and you walked right into one of the classic blunders of Legacy. Playing into Daze! Tragic. Tragic. Alright, let's say your opponent doesn't have the Daze, and you successfully counter the Fatal Push, and that will happen from time to time. So good on you. Next turn, you draw a Brainstorm, and you're looking at your hand, and you're thinking, I wish I had another card in my hand so I could really get some value out of this Brainstorm. If you had cast the Daze like I told you to, you would right now have an extra land in your hand that could successfully be shuffled away using the trick I taught you with Brainstorm in the previous video. There is value in having cards in your hand instead of just blindly slamming land after land into play when you could trade them for higher value cards. Look at that. Now you can play the fetch that was in your hand, cast Brainstorm, and then you crack your fetch, and now your hand has three brand new cards, and you're not drawing the same land you had in your hand next turn. I know this seems like a Brainstorm trick, but it's not possible without Daze. And that's a trick that many veterans of the format are not totally aware of, so now you're a step ahead. If you see Daze from your opponent, you'd be forgiven for always thinking that they were playing a tempo deck. But tempo isn't the only place that Daze is played. Daze's drawback of putting a land back into your hand can be mitigated in several ways. For instance, if the final spell you cast is Daze, you really don't care if you lose a land drop to cast it for free. That's why decks like Show and Tell and Reanimator sometimes play Daze to protect their combo. Some decks aren't concerned about their lands after they go off. Take Doomsday, for example. Once the Doomsday is cast, they aren't ever untapping or planning to see another untap step. A powerful card I often compare to Daze is Time Walk. In the right deck, Daze acts just like Time Walk. I know, that seems insane. How is countering a spell unless my opponent pays one more mana like casting one of the most powerful spells in the history of this or any other card game in existence? Au contraire, mon frere. Daze can, in fact, gain you a free turn, and that free turn draws you a card. If you are able to cast Daze to break your opponent's entire turn, especially when they've only cast one spell, then haven't you just cast Time Walk? Think about it. If your opponent didn't really get to do anything of substance on their turn, and they lost a card in their hand, well, haven't you gotten to take a turn for free? Of course, this sort of thinking is a bit of a perspective shift for the average Magic player, but now you know the power of Daze, and you're not exactly average anymore, are you? Finally, a really important part of acknowledging this card's power is noticing the severely diminished mana cost of the average card in this format. This isn't because Legacy is a fast format, and it can be fast. It's also because Daze demands that you play cards early in the game, and those cards have efficient costs relative to their power level and impact on the board. Because you might need to watch out that they don't get countered by Daze. There's a reason why you don't see a lot of decks playing powerful 4, 5, and 6 drops in Legacy. Those spells might be incredibly powerful, but by the time they hit the board, the extra turn you had to wait to play around Daze might mean you're already dead. So it's important to think about that when you're building your deck and how this deck would perform in a meta influenced by Daze. Because it's not just worrying about having your spells countered that's the problem, it's worrying about the other low mana spells that your opponent is playing because they're also worried about Daze, and this cyclical effect warps the entire format around this one spell. So that's Daze. Thank you for watching, and if you got any value out of this video, please consider subscribing to the channel and liking the video. That helps out a ton. And don't forget, check out our other Legacy 101 videos in this playlist. I hope this is giving you a real insight into the Legacy format, and I hope to see you across the table from me someday soon. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.